we'll see everybody out. This always want to be here, come together, study God's Word. I want to take time aside and say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are with us this morning. Do not have a Mother's Day sermon prepared for this morning. Did do a Mother's Day article. So I asked Casey if that made up for it. She said no. But again, I told her I went back and looked. I think I did a Mother's Day lesson the last two Mother's Days. So I'm going to take a break this one. But anyways, it's good to be able to gather together to worship and study. And do truly appreciate all the mothers that are here and all that you do for your family. And of course, as we are to treat one another as a family of Christ, that you look to you as mothers here and helping one another. So, what I do want to talk about, if you open up your Bibles to Acts 2, we're going to be starting there this morning. Wednesday night, Charlie had given the invitation, and he came over here to Acts 2, had read a lot of the verses here as it leads up to the baptism of around 3,000. He had talked about and pointed out how great it had been to see all that, the joy that we had with one soul, over many being baptized. But one of the points, one of the things he had said was, you know, we probably won't ever see 3,000 get baptized. You know, we won't ever witness such a thing like that. It just made me think, why not more baptisms? Why not more baptisms? So the first point I'm going to be looking at this morning is that there was a lot of baptisms as you go through the book of Acts. There was a lot of baptisms taking place. A lot of conversions is what we're actually saying there. A lot of people giving themselves over to God. And so why not? Why not more today? And not necessarily to the point that I would say I have the hope and mindset to say that we'd see 3,000 people get baptized in one day. But why don't we see it more often? Why don't we hear about it more often? Especially with today's day and time that we have social media and we're able to follow along and see what other congregations are doing and see on Facebook, see the shares that they may be sharing, the good news of baptisms taking place in other places as kids become of age, as they study and people are converted. And just the question of why not? And because, again, there was a lot. There was a lot of baptisms, a lot of people in the same day, in the same time period of obeying the gospel. Again, here in Acts 2, verse 41, about 3,000. Again, as Charlie brought up, can you imagine being there that day? Imagine being there as they gather together. Of course, they gather together for another reason of why they're all in this area at the same time. And when they had heard the apostles speaking in a variety of tongues, that they all started questioning and surrounding. And then he spoke. He took advantage of the opportunity there, and around 3,000 end up being baptized. You get to Acts chapter 4 with me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. It says that many of those who had heard the word believed, in the number of men who came to about 5,000. Now you can get caught up in reading this, whether or not that means 5,000 that day, or now we've added 2,000 to the 3,000, we got about 5,000 men who believe and have obeyed the gospel now. Either way, you look at it, the number has grown tremendously. Within about less than 2 years, I'd say, probably less than that, maybe a year's time, wherever from Acts 2 to Acts chapter 4, maybe a period of a month, if you can try to look at the timeline. But over this short amount of time, we're up to 5,000, possibly 8,000. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. When you sit and think about as the Word of God is spreading, in Acts chapter 8, again, as you continue to go along, you're just studying through the book of Acts, you see conversion after conversion. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And in verse 14, here it says, "Now, when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that
they sent Peter and John. And so, we're not just saying when you read verse 12, says a man and a woman, and then, oh, hey, the word is spread to Samaria. No, he's talking about a number of people. We don't have a number exact. We don't have a total amount here. But the word has came to this region. The word has come to these people. And now that there are many, that they have a congregation, and maybe multiple congregations, well, they need the Holy Spirit to guide them, to help them, so Phil can continue to proclaim the word elsewhere. So Peter and John come to them. So again, a lot of people are obeying the gospel. A lot of people are obeying the gospel at the same time. The question of why not today? What is different then? What is different from today? Acts 10 and verse 27. Acts 10 and verse 27. It says, and as he talked with them, he went and found many persons gathered. And so here talking about Peter and Cornelius. As Cornelius had been a good, righteous person, he was one who feared God, But when he came there, it wasn't just one person that he came into the household with, though. He didn't, all right, hey, I just want to learn what you're teaching. He taught that one person. He moved on. Again, and many people. He had gathered many people to hear the word of God. And as you study this situation, many ended up obeying the gospel. Again, at the same time. At the same point. At around the same time frame. In Acts 16, and verse 15. Acts 16, verse 15. You read along with me here. It says, and after she was baptized, and her household as well. Again, it wasn't just one person. She, again, you say, of course, compared to 3,000, this seems like a small number probably, but her and her household, her and her husband, her husband and her children, her husband, children, who's talking with them? Again, we're looking at this region, we're looking at the time frame kind of thing, and well, who all was living with them? Was parents in the household? Grandparent? Grandkid? What was servants there? Who all was in this household? More than one, but again, a whole household. The same thing as we look at the Philippian jailer, the jail guard in Acts 16, verse 33. Here, again, once he was converted, he didn't just keep it to himself. He was the one who took it to his household. The whole household obeyed the gospel. It's just time and again we see this example. In Acts 18 and verse 8, Acts 18 and verse 8, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthian hearing Paul believed and were baptized. Again, so it started with one person. Led to a household, and then it says, and then everybody else was listening at the same time, it led to many Corinthians. Why not more baptisms? Again, just thinking of where we are today and how we kind of got more of an advantage than they did then. When you say, well, different time, different place, you know, how, guys, it wasn't easy for them to spread the word of God. They were truly being persecuted, being thrown into prison, being tried, being stoned, being killed for teaching the Word of God. You can't say that it's harder times today to teach the Word of God. Now, some places it may be just as bad. But where we're at, it's not. They certainly don't have the advantage that we have today in sharing it in a variety of ways and spreading it out on the social media and spreading the good news. We can do it over the radio. We can do it on TV. You can do it through Facebook and Twitter and all the other spots that you can post it. We have faster ways of traveling to get to people. Whereas Paul was walking by foot, riding a camel, taking gold from one place to another, having to take boat rides that don't go as fast as today to get somewhere. I mean, what has changed? What is the difference? Is people not willing to obey the word of God? Again, what is the difference? If there were convicted souls then, I believe there are those who are convicted today and that they have a mindset that they know that they need to obey the gospel, that they need salvation. There are those who are here today that are in this world, that are in our community,
that are seeking out the truth, that are asking the question, what do I need to do to be saved? What needs to be done?
Just as it was then, right? Are you telling me there's no one out there that is seeking the truth? And that's what we see in Acts chapter 2. When you go back, you see people who were wanting to know what needs to be done. They were gathered together. They listened to what Peter had said. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do?
They were converted, that they were convicted, that they had done wrong. They felt the need to do something to make it right. They were cut to the heart.
I'm telling you, there are those out there today that are cut to the heart, knowing that they need to change their life, knowing they need to do something to make their life right. It shouldn't be. That's out there still today. So it's something that's going on today that was going on then. In Acts 8, here we look at the eunuch. Again, another conversion shortly after Simon the Sorcerer and the Samaritans. The eunuch, he was seeking the truth, right? Someone who's looking for answers. Acts 8 and verse 30, so Philip ran to him, heard him reading Isaiah, and the prophet asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He was studying the scriptures. He was reading it. There are those who are out there today also doing the same thing, that are opening up the Bibles or opening up many religious books written by a variety of men, and so they don't know which one to follow. It might be like the eunuch here, well, is this the way I'm supposed to go? Who is he talking about over here? Again, there are those out there today that are seeking the truth, that are studying their Bibles. Those who are good people, good moral people that are just not sure of what the truth is. Just like Cornelius again, here in Acts chapter 10. And in verse 1, it says that Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as an Italian court. It says a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. You can't tell me
that you don't know anyone out there that's not giving themselves over to the Lord, not a member of the Lord's kingdom, but you can sit back and say they are good people. They're people who will give you the shirt off their own back. People who are going to go the extra mile and out of their way to assist you. These are good moral people.
But they still need someone to guide them in the right direction. They just need to hear the good news. They need to be pointed in the right direction. So a mindset of that there's people out there that need to hear the word, that are seeking the truth, that truly need and want to obey the gospel. Acts chapter 16 and verse 29. Acts 16 and verse 29, it says, and the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
People who are put in a situation that they thought there's no point of living any further, that they're about to take their own life, and then the opportunity is made for us to reach out and say, wait, God still loves you. God cares about you. God can forgive you. God can give you purpose in life. Because here he was. He was in jail. And he thought, I'm going to be killed by the king. I'm going to take my life now because all the prisoners have escaped. Think how many people have went through trauma in this world. I mean, how many people have was affected by the tornadoes recently? How many people are being affected by war? How many affected by work and money that are in a spot and they're lost. It takes someone to just step up and say, wait, we're still here. There's still people who care about you. There's still a God who will take care of you. So in mindset of asking, well, there's just no one who's willing to listen. No one who wants to hear what the Word of God has to say. And I know because the Bible tells us that there are those certainly that do not want to hear it. And that there are more of those who don't want to hear it that do want to hear it. But there are still the few that are things hasn't changed. It's my point of that there are convicted people that know that there's something out there for them, but they just don't know what it is. That there are those who are in sorrow that are seeking for an answer to help guide them in the right place. That there are those who know that they have sinned, but they don't know how to repent. Why ain't there more conversions today? Why aren't there more baptisms today? Because there are those who are out there seeking this, just as there was then. Again, the way is still the same, right? This still hasn't changed. The truth is what is going to get those people converted. The truth is what is going to set them free. Still, it's the same message. John 8, verse 32 says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That has not changed. The answer still is Jesus Christ came and died for your soul. So you must give yourself over to Him. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized and wash them away, calling on the name of the Lord. That message has not changed. The truth is what sets us free. It's what saved these people in Acts chapter 2. When again, Charlie went through this for us on Wednesday night, so I'm not going to take time to read all of it. But he goes forth and starts to preach Jesus as they start to wonder, well, what's going on here? Some may think that they're drunk. Some were just amazed about what's taking place. And so Peter takes the opportunity. I've got their attention. Right? I've got their attention. Let's take advantage of this. And he says, they're not drunk. Think about this Jesus who just recently died. Resurrected. Think about back to David, King David. We all know who that is. Think about what he prophesied. He prophesied about this man Jesus. Think about the words he said. Think about the prophecies that were proclaimed in the old. He kind of brings it back, circles around to Jesus again. He says, this Jesus whom you have crucified is the Christ. So they were cut to the heart again. They were convicted. What must we do? What can we do? And so the truth is what sets them free. He says, repent. Every one of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That is still the truth today. That is still the message today. It's not something new today. It's not something that we don't know the answer to. We know the answer that is to convert people. It's the Word of God. That's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power unto salvation. The Bible, the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 tells us that it has everything we need in order to be obedient to God, in order to be complete men of God. James 1:25 tells us that it is perfect. He who looks into the perfect law. The Word of God is still the same today. The message that can help all these people who are searching for the truth, who are looking for the right path, it is still there today. As we go back to Acts 8, the example of Philip the eunuch again, as he is reading, he's asked the question, who is he speaking of? So we look back here in Acts 8. And so in Acts 8, as he preached to the Samaritans, what did he preach? He said, but when they believed Philip, he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. And then we come to the eunuch in verse 35, and says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus. Still the same message. Jesus Christ, our Creator, was sent down by the Father, lived a perfect life, sacrificed Himself, resurrected, was seen by men, and ascended into heaven. And that through baptism, you can reach the blood of Christ and wash your sins. Messages. So
So again, if these things haven't changed, if these things haven't changed, why aren't there more conversions? Why aren't there more baptisms? Another point to look at is that there was zeal to spread the good news. That there was a desire to go out and proclaim our Lord and Savior to these people. Jesus told them to go do so in Matthew chapter 28. To go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so when the opportunity came in Acts, what did Peter do? Peter preached. Peter stepped up. And he proclaimed the Word of God. He didn't just stand there only trying to defend himself. We're not drunks! That was the only thing he focused on. He says, I got some good news to spread to them. Let us teach our Lord and Savior and what He can do for them. Understand why Jesus was faithful and did not call 12 legions of angels to come down and stop them from killing him. Why was there conversions in Acts 2? Because Peter saw the opportunity and he spoke the truth. How often do we take advantage of opportunities we have? When we're gathered together with friends and family and we have the opportunity because we see somebody in sorrow and we say, I know the best comforter there is in the world. My God. My Savior. When someone's sitting there pondering the reason for life and you say, I know where we can find the answer. Word of God. The Bible. Because our Creator, that's His words. And so He'd go forth and He explains through the words on why we're here, what we need to do in order to be saved. He can explain how to repent of your sins and how you can live your life upon this world today. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, again, as the eunuch is studying the Word of God, Philip approached him here. In Acts 8, 30, says, Philip ran to him, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I? How can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Again, here, guys, this is where we have the opportunity. Because people are looking, people are searching, people are buying material, people are buying books and study material and other commentaries and different things. But if they pick up the wrong thing, they are guided in the wrong direction. We miss that opportunity. Because it's going to happen. They're going to turn their TV on. They're going to see someone else inviting them to come hear about what they're teaching about Jesus and His kingdom. What they proclaim is the truth to be saved. And again, Satan appears as an angel of light. So it appears that this is the right path. This is what they need to do. They get guided in the wrong direction. How many opportunities do we seek out? We go to school every day. We go to work every day. We go into our world and community. We play sports and we have many activities that we are surrounded by people who have yet given themselves over to God. We share on Facebook again. Now, I don't make a lot of posts and likes. Share my verse of the day every morning. Share the articles that we post on our website. And maybe the lesson, I try to make sure I do that part. But when it comes to just regular everyday posts, every now and then, I posted one recent, my most recent one was always for baseball. Kids playing baseball. And then usually probably anniversary for my wife. We often post, I bet there's a ton of posts this morning about mothers. A ton of them. Everybody's saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in their life. We make posts during birthdays, Happy Birthday. We make posts that when good news happens with our kids, when they're doing good in sports or in school and go to college, and everything else.
Do we share the word of God?
Again, we feel like, well, we don't want to be like everybody else. Well, we don't want to. It's your opportunity. Again, what? Opportunity to spread the good news. To share it unto others. Again, you see how much Paul and the apostles had done here throughout the book of Acts. I can't help but sit back and say, how much would Paul accomplish if he lived in today's day and time? How much would he be writing? I mean, he had to write, physically write letters, had help from other people to write these letters and send them off. And as he waited to hear back, as someone brought a letter back in return, to hear how the church over here is doing, to hear how they're doing over there, and to request some assistance to come to him. But today, he couldn't be getting in touch with everyone by flipping up his phone, by opening up his phone, making a phone call, sending out a text, sending an email, checking on this person, checking on this congregation, doing all this good work. How much preaching he would be doing, how many studies he would be having. Why aren't there more conversions today? And again, the zeal they had to spread the word. Acts 9, verse 20, this is Paul. Once he is converted, it says, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. He obeys, he stays some days with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he is full with zeal to serve our God. Again, the zeal that Paul had, the desire, the rush, the need to let everybody know, to do everything he can in the service to God. Even when he was going around and doing the opposite before this year, before he was converted, he was doing it in the name of God. He thought this is what needed to be done. These people were sinners. They were causing harm to the Lord's kingdom. Man, he learned the truth. He was quick to repent. That's what we talked about this morning in the class that I'm teaching now is repent. One of them was zealous to repent there in Acts 3. They were zealous to repent. That was Paul. Paul immediately turned the other direction to make it right and to teach others the truth, to share the good news. Again, we're going to run out of time eventually to share it to others. They were studying the Word of God every day and teaching it to others and helping each other grow. Acts 5 and verse 42. Acts 5 and verse 42. Every day, in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. If they were invited to somebody's home, well, they'd have a home Bible study with that thing. If they didn't have a home Bible study to go to, they were going into the temples, they were going into the synagogues, they were preaching the Word of God, they were out in the streets teaching others. I believe we can answer the question, why not more conversions today? How hard are we out there trying to convert others? How often do we invite others to come to worship? How often do we offer Jesus and God to comfort those who are in sorrow? It comes down to our part of going and proclaiming. Because again, just as the eunuch asked, and as we can see in Romans chapter 10, and you read here with me in verse 14, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Again, it doesn't mean you have to be the full-time preacher. It doesn't mean you have to know everything in the Word of God. It doesn't mean you actually have to have that the Bible study. If you can set up a Bible study, if you can get them to say, hey, yeah, I know somebody who's really good at explaining these things, I'll invite you to to set it up. I'll be more than happy to come in and step in and study with both of you. You can be there with us. Or if you know someone else that you think they'd be comfortable sitting down and talking with, why not set that up? Again, we are told to sanctify the Lord in our hearts and to always be ready to give an answer, a defense for the reason we have hope, for the reason we believe. I believe most of us, most of those who are here, understand and know the Word of God. We're not ready to go, and we're just not willing to go and tell it to others. To extend that opportunity to maybe rock the boat and cause people to ask more questions. Well, what about other churches? What about denominations? What about grandma and grandma? We worry about that instead of letting the Word of God be what teaches them. Letting the Word of God be the choice of whether it converts them or hardens their heart. There are those who are going to obey the gospel if we're willing to go and teach them. Again, if you read the next verse, verse 15, it says, "And how are they to preach unless they are unsent? Unless they are sent. And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Thing is, I don't have to stand here and tell, go. Jesus has already sent us. Jesus has said, go. Go and make disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we extend the opportunity for any who need to obey the gospel this morning. If you're here and you desire to be baptized, wash your sins away. I believe there's been a time or two in this lesson that we kind of went through that plan of salvation. You're here and you're ready to repent of your sins. You're ready to call upon the name of the Lord and be baptized. You can do that this morning. We have water in the baptistry bathroom. You can wash your sins. If you're here and you need a prayer congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known.
Why do you wait your brother?